Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a show that's dedicated to serving underserved communities. One of the objectives of Missing Pages of History is to fulfill the missing pages that has been left out the history books. We will do this and more through your participation. And the best way you can participate is to join our organization. We'd like to invite you to join MPH by going to our website, which is at www.mphinc.org. We are open for new memberships. We also have in our continuous T-shirt and cap drive, as well as we just recently had our second quarterly raffle ticket fundraising drive. And we would like to congratulate our winners today, which were Mr. Jabari Robinson out of Richmond, Virginia. He won first prize. That was a $300 cash award. And for second prize, $150 cash award, goes to Miss Aretha Joyner out of North Carolina. And third place winner was Mr. Hakeem Robinson out of Richmond, Virginia, for $50. So we'd like to congratulate all of our winners, and our third quarter raffle drawing will be coming up in the next 2 months. So please make sure you contact the members of MPH or check out our website to participate and support these events, as well as in September, our upcoming fall live talk show on Comcast Channel 95 out of Richmond, Virginia, will be. And so we'll discuss them in the near future, so make sure you get ready for our upcoming shows, live TV shows on MPH. But what we're going to do right now for today's topic is acute violence in the United States. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, there seems to be a prevalence of violence in the United States, particularly in communities of people of color. And we would like to have a dialogue on this particular issue, and we would like to present our narrative on this particular issue. And to do that, as always, we would like to first welcome back our analysts, our historians, and our contributor, Emmanuel, to Missing Pages of History. Emmanuel, welcome back. We hope that you are doing well and feeling better. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, in terms of our topic today, for the last couple of weeks, there have been so much violence throughout the United States, particularly in people, communities who happen to be people of color, or they say underserved communities. This prevalence of violence in America, why so much violence? Give me your analysis, your take on that.
Well, violence has always been here, part of the social stratification. Part of the environment. When you introduce to poverty, introduce to projects, the reservations, ghettos, because these are created pockets. These pockets have been created close to 300 years. They're more prevalent now because of the national media. So with the national media, and also with social media, blowing up much more now because of the picture taking. People are using their cameras so you can see it. And that's the biggest thing we're doing now, is that the violence is now being recorded. But what is going on with that is accountability. Accountability is still one-sided. Less than 1% of some of the people who are doing the violence, police officers basically, they get prosecuted less than 1%, because the DA and the police department, they're in bed together. You cannot have a balanced act of balance when you have this type of persecution when it happens afterwards. And people do not like exactly what's going on when they see it on camera. And it's very acute. It's very forward. It's very truthful. It's eye-catching. The world sees it. Then you get them and someone lies about it. Accountability is not there. So that's what's going on, basically. The violence is being recorded. Everything needs to be recorded now. And we have to make sure we do something about it. But again, you got to make sure people get prosecuted for murder when you know that's murder. The young man that basically killed Mr. Garner in New York, the man was selling cigarettes, he's back on the police force. He put a murderer back on the police force. That's what he is. Like I say, but I know there's not going to be no prosecution. It's always not going to be not going to be in their favor. Once they start going to jail, they will act accordingly because it's very difficult. I don't care how much training you give a bigot. How much training you give a bigot, it doesn't help them at all. It's not going to help a person that's his DNA. It's hateful. It got us how much training. So you cannot become a police officer, and you shouldn't become a police officer because your daddy was one. That should not be the qualification. Their granddaddy was one. It's a family thing. That should never. That's not the qualification. But it's what they use. Nepotism is used for this. So that's why you got what you got. You're going to keep this up until the community, the police force, the fire department, the city council looks like the community that you live in. You're always going to have, because Bob is all about control. Control, control, control. You have to control integration. You had controlling power with segregation and Jim Crow. You had controlling. Now, it's not so much control. We only got free into 1970. Then we saw some freedoms. Before 1970, we had no freedom. The freedoms you got now, you're trying to exercise them through protests and everything else that we're trying to do right. Abiding by the law, complying. Why it's got to be where it is? Because the DNA, sometimes, some police officers, is vigilante. I gave a speech, 4-part series, on the history of policing in the United States. Everybody should read that. Go to that website and pick that one up. And you see why it is the way they are today. I have nothing changed. The only thing that's changed is getting video. It's getting recorded. They don't care about the recording. Because the judges and the DA, all of them going to work in favor of the police regardless of what happens. They're going to take a lie and make it what it is regardless. They're going to justify a lie. Because they got them black robes on. They can do what they want to do. We need to vote them out. Get them out of there. Get them out of there. So the whole thing is about voting. And the thing is economic boycotts. Things you need to do is let you cut the money off. If you cut the money off, rules change. This is, again, this is a capitalism country. It's all capitalism. Racism and capitalism, they shake hands every day.
Emmanuel, in terms of this violence being so vast in the black community, can you give us a more assessment on why directed at the black community versus others? It seems like it's the black or the African community where it predominantly takes place at. What are the social factors for choosing our community or community of people?
Well, black and brown is where we are socioeconomic-wise. They're the profit margin of America. So they got to make sure you bring your money to them. They don't care what they do. They're going to put their stores in your community. They're going to drain the community out. They're going to drain the money out of the community. And all you left to do is basically is wallow in this poverty that's been created by them. Because, again, They're going to keep you at $7, $8 an hour, so you know you have to knock somebody in the head to survive. This is the all creative. Because then the criminal element comes after that. Because you want the same things everybody else wants. You want your kid to go to college, you want a nice home, you want a nice car, you want everything everybody wants, like America should have. Not just a few. But only 5% of the population has that. Of the 12 million people we have, including kids, only 5% has that. 5%. The 4% home ownership. Not saying a whole lot. When your family, a family of four, makes $33,000 per year, and a Caucasian family, European American family, makes $81,000 a year, you can't catch up. Never going to catch up. They're going to integrate the money. And they're not going to integrate the money. You're going to have racism here as long as the money don't get integrated. The whole thing. When they say we're going to do integration, you're not going to integrate the money. And that's what's going on. So you're going to have racism will never be eradicated until the money is integrated.
Okay. Now, in terms of when we look at violence in the context of America, many people don't want to call it for what it is. But I've heard some people who have been very succinct in terms of describing the type of violence. And they are calling this violence state-sponsored terrorism, official violence that is carried out by the state. The history of the police control, how the beginning of this country, how they used the police and at the beginning to control people who was enslaved, African people enslaved. That was also sponsored by the state. So how do you, or what is your suggestion? How is it different when you're dealing with something that seems to be sanctioned by the state versus something that is done by an act of an individual based upon whatever reasons they feel is just? How do you reconcile those two different forms of actions, of violence, state sponsored versus individuals acting out for some kind of cause or some kind of fairness?
Well, it still has to create revenue. And that's what it creates revenue is from poor people, basically. Because rich people have lawyers to fight for them, and they say, before I go up against them, we're going to lose. So you're spending money where you don't have to spend any money. You can stop a black person for a tail light, stop for the license plate hanging down, a muffler hanging down. He's trying to get around the car, trying to get to work. Where one guy thinks he got stopped 82 times. 82 times they stopped for something. That is totally profiling. But again, with the revenue base, they got to keep us in court, take what you got as much as they can. Because you don't have no retroactive type thing to do anything. Because you don't get lawyers, you don't get this, you don't have that. So again, court-appointed attorneys, we don't even bother with them. We should always have a court-appointed attorney. But again, it's not for us, basically. It's not going to let you, we don't get that right because we don't understand the rights. It's going to be state-sponsored as long as we stay here. Because, again, we are the profit margin of America. Without our $1.3 trillion, this is a broke nation. The whole thing was, they should they bring all their money to us. Not some of it, but should they bring all our money. We're going to invest ours on Wall Street. We can't get to Wall Street. We don't have the money going to Wall Street. You can't invest in Wall Street and make $8 to $9 an hour. So your money going directly to them. They're going to keep it that way. It's all state-sponsored. 26 think tanks study black America. There's not one think tank that study white America.
Okay, what we are doing right now, we're listening to Missing Pages of History, and our theme tonight is acute violence in the United States, and we're talking about violence, particularly as relates to what's going on in communities of people of color. We are speaking to our analyst and historian, Emmanuel, and we're going to open up our phone lines to our listening audience. We'd like to hear your views and comments on this whole question of violence in the United States, particularly most recently, the things that have taken place in the city like Dallas and Minneapolis, etc. We'd like to know, what is your take? What is your narrative? We have heard the establishment to give their narrative on these issues as it relates to violence and who are the perpetrators and the cause and what have you. But we want to fill in our own pages. Before we go to the phone line, Emmanuel, let us hear your narrative on what you think about the incident in Dallas and Minnesota, and then we're going to open up our phone lines and let our listening audience get their views and positions on the subject tonight. Emmanuel, what do you think? What is your take on Dallas and Minnesota, the events that took place during that time in those two cities?
And what happened both in Minnesota, also in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, very despicable. This is not the way to do anything. Revenge is not the key. Getting rage, executing rage, is not the way to do anything. That's not the way to do it. This is totally uncalled for. This is just one of the sad chapters in America. We're going to have a lot of sad chapters. Because, again, when you don't do right, you started out wrong. You started out with slavery. And from slavery to segregation, segregation, Jim Crow, and the Jim Crow, all, you know, all this stuff that we've gone through, that it should never happen. Every man is supposed to be created equal. But it's not inequity. It's always been inequity. Capitalism cannot exist. Cannot exist with equal equity. It don't exist. Slavery brought in capitalism. Without slavery, wouldn't be no capitalism. Slavery brought it in. Now you got to pay somebody, so if you do pay them, you got to take that too, so you can exist. So, capitalism only exists, like I said before, the handshake of racism and capitalism, the two are joined together. And the DNA is a marker, is to make sure that you keep the three quarters of the human being, make sure that stays where it needs to stay. That's when they look at you as of now. You are three quarters of a human being as a black person. That's the way they look at you. If you're never going to be their equal, they're going to make sure of that. You look in the mirror, how many times you look in the mirror, regardless what you got, those things you got is nothing. You get, when the $350 billion plus this country collects every month to pay the bills, to pay people, African Americans only get 7% of $350 billion. Where did the rest of it go? I think you know where it goes. So you go with the only getting 7%. That's all you're gonna get. Of $350 billion. That's all we get. But you hear the politicians talk like we're getting it all. That's all we get is 7% of $350 billion. They take it all. We contribute $1.3 trillion. To the national budget of 4.7 million. We are one fourth of the budget. Without us, they don't make it. Just like Europe. Without Africa, Europe will be gone in 1 month. It wouldn't even exist. Africa keeps Europe alive. That's why they keep them in the position they keep them in. Keep them hungry, keep them diseased, make sure they can't flush the toilet, make sure they're guinea pigs. They're going to make sure all they're going to do is take all the natural resources out of there so they can survive and make sure they don't have any. Like I said before, how can the richest continent in the world be the poorest? All you have to do is get Jungle Jim, Tarzan, and Jane out of there, and Africa will be just fine.
Okay, Emmanuel, what we're going to do, we're going to stop right now. We're going to open up our phone lines. We have some people been waiting patiently. We're going to bring them right in, and we'd like to hear their views on that thing, acute violence in the United States. Why is violence so prevalent in the African community? And we're going to open up the mic right now to line 6021. Line 6021, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, enjoying your show. I have a quick question. I would agree with your guest there's clearly there's a connection between decline of the capitalist system and police violence. I would agree with it wholeheartedly. But more importantly, my concern is the question of legality. And when you look at it in terms of recent Supreme Court rulings, in which police actions are deemed under the broad heading of reasonableness, I'm concerned that, in fact, what's happening is that Supreme Court is giving police carte blanche the right to act to kill his own citizen. So I just wonder what your guests think about that.
Emmanuel?
Yes. Question?
His question was, what do you think about the recent decision by the Supreme Court giving basically the police department carte blanche to kill its citizens, and it's justified? The laws are standing toward where the police can justify killing the citizens of this country.
Well, it's always been like it. The judges also hand out the same decisions. Again, when the DA and the police department, they're married, they shake hands all the time. So there's never going to be justifiable. Like I said before, less than 1% of police get prosecuted for their crimes. They're going to keep it this way because it's called control. And they're going to make sure that all the statutes that come out of the Supreme Court, they're going to make sure that they control you. Your thing, big thing is to control what we started. Can never let that get out of place. Supreme Court say you're basically three quarters of a human being. Look at the Dred Scott decision. You never become a citizen, basically. Never. So we look at all the Supreme Court decisions. They're nowhere close to being for black people. You are the mimic of the population here. You're the one that makes it go. You're the one that created this whole capitalistic system through slavery, through forced labor, unpaid labor, and they don't want to do it right now. Again, you look at the numbers, we never look at numbers, but like I say again, they're going to make sure because crime pays. The states know it pays. When a jail cell is empty of a private prison, taxpayers pay for that empty cell when nobody's in there. 106,000 dollars they pay a year minimum when a person is locked up, coming from the federal government and state government. $106,000 plus. The plus when you get sick, when you got to move him, when things happen. Your prison system again. It's a place where they're gonna we're 66% of the prison system. We're 12% of the population.
Okay, caller 6029, anything else you'd like to say? I would like to hear your analysis on the recent event in Dallas and why you think this violence is so prevalent in the black community as it relates to state-sponsored terrorism by its official police department.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with history. I think one of the things, when you look at the decline of the economy, one of the things are very clear. And more and more people become very, very clear that, the system is diametrically opposed to those who work for a living. And so, therefore, it constitutes a real threat for the powers that be, for the status elite. So the only way to maintain control, at least in their estimation, is to actually brutalize the population. The African community have always been a kind of a whipping boy for the problems that permeate society. So if you can keep Africans in control by terror, then other people get the message that if you step out of line, then you too face some kind of terror. So I think this kind of police balance of record to the African community is strategic stand by those in power. So it's very, very clear that this is going to continue. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
That's an interesting observation, Carla, because I know during slavery, when they used to hang Africans, they'll make other Africans watch to try to make them fearful and intimidate to speak out and act against. So that seems like that's a narrative that's been going on for year after year. Emmanuel, would you like to respond to what the caller just stated?
It's true. Everything, like I said, is all about control. You have to control the separatism, and we're separate, basically. They make sure we're separate. The elite said keep them in their place. You put them on reservations, you put them in projects, You put them in low-income areas so we know where they are. Just keep them away from us. This is the key element. So everybody wants to have this story. Everybody wants a story how they got here. Well, I got here poor, or this and that. Every politician has a story about their parents that come from Europe. They didn't come in chains. They did not come in chains. We're the only ones that ever came in chains. Slavery. They didn't come here as slaves. They come here because they own slaves and do the work. So we have to understand that. But again, when we're going to do this, if the $1.3 trillion that we spend, we need to cut that in half. We recycle about $60 billion. That's all we recycle of the $1.3 trillion. How do we do this? There are ways to do this. People got to stop driving the car. When you can walk, don't get in your car. Don't get stopped for a taillight. Once you cut that revenue out, once you cut that retirement revenue out, because, again, these guys live in Florida, Arizona, living off of your money, off of your revenue that you're generating. All you do is go to the courthouse and see who's down there. 12% of the population, we should be very few down there, very few. You're talking about 41 million people versus over 260 million. The numbers just don't add up. And nobody wants to talk about the numbers. You're only talking about 12% of the population and only 5% of adults. The other 7% of children, basically, 18 years old now, and they're locking our young people up. They're locking us. You have a young man the other day, 17 years, for stealing $800. He's 17 years old. $800 they gave him 17 years. Young man's life is ruined. All they're going to do is come back. 85% of African Americans go back to jail. 85% they return. They can't find a job. They can't do anything because they're records. This is all designed against you because crime pays $106,000 to put you in prison. You can go to college. They don't want you to go to college. They want you in prison. They want you in two places where it pays, hospital and prison. Medicare, Medicaid, it pays. It pays. Those two is where we are. The hospital and the prison system. That's where we are.
Emmanuel, what I can do right now, I'd like to make a quick announcement for those who are listening to Missing Pages of History online. You're about to lose us. You can go to podcast by calling in at 818-337-0016 and hear the entire program. If you don't hear the entire program, you always can listen to it by going to our website at www.mphi.org. The show comes on bi-weekly. Our next two programs will be July the 30th and August the 13th. We're out at 1 p.m. Again, we'd like to announce congratulations to our winners of our second quarterly raffle. We would like to congratulate Jabari Robinson for first prize, Rita Joyner for second prize, and Haki Robinson for third prize. Please support us. You just go to our website. We will tell you, and we are listed, all the ways how you can support and how you can join us. We need your support, and make sure you purchase your cap and T-shirt, Missing Pages of History, summer T-shirt and cap. For this summer, for 2016, if you haven't done that, you can do all of this by going to the webpage or contacting one of our members. Now, what we're going to do right now, we will continue this program, and we have a caller who's been waiting patiently. We will bring that caller in, and we will get her views and her perspective on this theme tonight, acute violence in the United States. Why is this so prevalent, particularly in communities of color? We welcome caller 9289, caller 9289, your question.
Okay. The only thing I say, It is a sad state of affairs now. Anything about it, you got so many young children. How do you explain to them to get them to really understand what's going on, and which is going to have to come through the community? Where they used to have a saying, it takes a village to raise a kid or whatever. We're going to have to get back to those kinds of standards, so that way we can talk to our kids, we can protect our kids, we can allow our kids to have some kind of hope that basically, even through the voting system, if you get out there, maybe we can keep the type of police and everything that's getting these positions, especially the chiefs, that's going along with their men killing innocent people, especially people of black origin. So it's, and I know that's going to be a long process, but we've got to get our communities really involved, and we work as a whole to try to come up with some kind of strategy that we have our own, maybe even getting our own policing. They used to have that years ago, from what I read in history. We police our own communities. And that's all I have to say.
Well, to my call and response about this voting process and its relationship to the violence, I would just like to make the statement and get Emmanuel and those guests who would like to respond to it. I'd like to make this statement about the voting system. We've been voting since we basically, for the last, how long, 60 years or more. And if you had people who has a mindset or an attitude against a certain grouping of people, how would that stop that person from carrying out terrific acts against people of color or against people that they don't like? I mean, it seems to me on the streets, the brothers and sisters are telling me that they believe a large segment of the police force is members of the Ku Klux Klan or former members of hate groups like that. So they are carrying out what they always want to do, but they have the official sanction by the state. So that's my comment to that statement. Emmanuel, your response to my comments.
You're right. They have the Supremes, they got like Supremes groups. They recruit these young men to go in the police department. Ku Klux Klan, again, they're in the police department big time, and carrying out the execution like they're supposed to. Are they being sponsored by the state? Are they being sponsored by, again, we got some new bull corners out here now. Are they still here? Not going anywhere. We got some old Governor Wallace's out here. They're still here. Not going anywhere. Because separatism is the name of the game. They knew that this country started out with separatism. You started out wrong. And like I say, you have made huge profits. And look what the country looked like because of what you done. Well, you want to share in that. You do not want to share in the prosperity like you want, like everybody needs to spare. But the main thing we got to do, economic boycotts is the answer. $1.3 trillion is a lot of money. And I said the budget is $4.7 trillion. That's what this budget is. So what we need to do is cut everything in half. When Christmas time comes, buy your kid one toy. When Valentine's Day come around, don't take everybody out to dinner. Mother's Day come around, cook the dinner for your mother's house. Easter come around, you're going to the store buying the kids dresses. Go to the dress store last year or get a cheaper dress, whatever it takes. But once you do that, don't fill your tank up full of gas. Do a half a tank. Things you need to do. Have a picnic in the park. Don't cost you a dime. Stop running holes on stuff that we do. Things that we do, there's a strategy to it. Of course there's a strategy to it. The $1.3 trillion, that's your strategy. Understand they need that. That's 1/4 of the budget of the United States of America that makes this country run. Well. Let somebody else get poor. You don't think it don't try to be one of the poor ones. That's where we are. We have pockets and cities. Can't control a city like a Detroit, like a Chicago. You can't control the Natural Rifle Association. They're going to sell these AR-14s and, you know, they're going to sell, you know, these magazine-type weapons. They don't care. It's about the money. Everything is about the money. Everything is about the money. And the way they can get the government's money is where they're coming. The government created 91 million jobs. 91 million. And who get the benefits on those jobs? European Americans. They get the high-class jobs. They get the good-paying jobs. They benefit from everything. Food stamps. They get the most of the food stamps. They get the most. You know, again, we look at stuff and they put stuff on us. We don't try to investigate. Average black at 190-some bucks, they go with $280 a month food stamps. I mean, look who gets the, look who benefits from them. What stores do we own that benefit from these food stamps? We don't own no Walmarts, no Kroger's. We don't own no Costco. We don't. They benefit from this. They love food stamps. But they put it in a negative way. We got to dispel the negative. We're missing Basil's history. Going to misspell all of this stuff. Over a million soldiers get food stamps. They're not going to tell you that. PFCs, corporals, and the military get food stamps. They're the biggest recipient. But they're not going to tell you this stuff. Mr. Basil, we're going to tell you. Because everything they do, they claim we the one that they're giving. Or, of course, you're giving them something free. They get all the free stuff. $350 billion a month, and we get 7%. They get all the free stuff. They're the ones fixing the highways. Look out there and look and see who's doing it. Look who's building the buildings. Who is making government money? They make all of the money. It's like you're getting peanuts. But they made sure that congressmen put that out there because they got platforms. We need more platforms. We need the churches to get involved more, 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 and more. And they don't. Because they're satisfied. The churches, they're satisfied. They have their pastor, nice car, nice home, send his kids to college, offer your offering, your tithes. This is what they do. Not doing nothing in the community. Nothing. If they do anything, they put their name on it. And they're not doing it. Shouldn't be no home this year. Shouldn't
let
be
me
no
get
home this year. But like I said again, Mr. Basil is going to enlighten you on all these things, things like the budget, where the money is going. Who gets the money? Who benefits from the money? You don't.
Let me get the denominator. Man, let me get this last response from this caller, and then we're going to summarize this today's discussion from your perspective. Caller 6298, your response to this issue of this question of voting, but if we don't look at the type of people they bring into these official law enforcement agencies, it means very little. Get your response to that statement. Caller
6029?
6029, yes, your response to that statement I made.
Okay, in terms of voting?
Yes, if some people think it's a question of voting, I raised a statement earlier that the type of people they are hiring on the law enforcement agencies are people who have been attached to former terrorist groups, Ku Klux Klan groups, etc. The type of people they hire, if they hire folks or individuals who do not lack certain communities, regardless of what you do in voting, and that can stop this violence in the community. I'd like to get your brief response to that. How do you address that?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the more simplistic solution is to really believe that, in fact, that if you just vote, that, in fact, that it's going to change things. The problem is that the problem we have is fundamentally systemic. We talk about a system in place, a system whose precarious, a system that's trying to find a way to survive by any means necessary. So if you talk about large expenditures for the sole purpose of killing people, then you got to understand that in the context of America, working class people, black people, are not immune from that process. And so what's become extremely important for those in power at the end of the day is power and wealth, and that's all that matters. So if you stand in the way of that power and the wealth, then your destruction is almost assured. So this notion that you can vote to change this paradox is simply silly. It's an argument we had back in the 60s. It seems to me that at this point people should be informed enough to understand that the problem we confront with is much more deeper than something as simplistic as voting. The problem we confront with is systemic, and nothing short of systemic change is going to remedy the problems that human beings are confronted with in the society.
Thank you, Carla. We'd like to thank all our listening audience today. What we're going to do right now, we only have a couple of minutes left. We're going back to our contributor, our historian, and our analyst. Emmanuel, we'd like to just give you 2 minutes to do a summarization on the theme, acute balance in the United States, why it's so prevalent in communities of color. Give us your final thought on this theme, Emmanuel.
Well, it's going to stay this way again. For systems in place, you're not going to replace these systems. They will do everything they can from gerrymandering to changing voting districts to make sure this doesn't happen. But the big thing we need to do again, you have to attack the system that puts you in a system, a system that is secondary to everybody else's system. And the system they're going to do again, they're going to grade you at all given times. You'll be graded not fairly. Understand unfairness. We don't understand unfairness. You are a second-class citizen, basically. You're going to stay that way. Nothing's going to change the system they have, because the system makes money. Everything, sickness makes money. Hospitals make money through Medicare and Medicaid. Again, prison system makes money because the cell cannot be empty. The justice system is there because of the money it creates. It's a creative system because if you don't create that system, that stream of revenue, you're no longer there. The whole thing thrives on money and power. And you're not going to make that any less by voting. Because, again, voting is seems like the most simple thing to do, but again, you got to get the right people in place to make sure it happens a certain way. Education going to stay where it is until you get people in the system that will work for you and work for everybody. The money, again, is not distributed evenly. Again, when they say we're going to do integration, but we're not going to integrate the money. The whole thing is about money and power. You're not going to lessen those, no type of way. And the power's in the police department. The power's in the justice department. That's where the power is. And they know you can't get there. They'll stop you before you get there. They're going to make sure they do 90% negative news on you. That's the calling card. Only 10% positive on you. 90% of the images they're going to show you is going to be derogatory. You're the big elephant in the room that stirs the pot, that does everything. You can't make them no money, they don't need you. You can't make them no money, they don't need you. And all you do, I say again, we get money in sports, but you cannot coach the team. You can be 90% of the players, but you're 5% of the coaching. Because, again, that's money. It's power.
Okay. And on that note, Emmanuel, we're going to have to stop you. We are at less than 30 seconds. We'd like to thank our listening audience for listening to Missing Pages of History. Remind you, this is a bi-weekly program. Our next program will be July the 30th at 1 p.m. We also want to direct you to our website at www.mphinc.org to find out more about our organization. We have an open membership drive. Come and join us. We have a cap and t-shirt drive. Place your order in now. Contact with your members. If you'd like to donate, make a contribution, financial contribution to us, you can send it to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27, 782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We'd like to thank everyone for calling in and listening and giving their perspective on the theme today, the acute balance in America. Until next time, let's always strive to go forward ever, backward never, serve our community and do the right thing. We thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History, and we'll see you next program on July the 30th.